Blog Talk Radio.
Go. Hallelujah. This is Hallelujah. The day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessing you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. God is good.
All the time. Nothing like him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's good, and I'm just... It's wonderful to be able to send out his word into all the world.
Yes, indeed. And you know, it's a blessing. We thank God for your positive attitude. It's going to get better.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's going to get better.
Yes, sir.
It sure is.
Yes, sir. To God be the glory. But as it said in Philippians, this is the confidence that we have, that the very work that Jesus Christ that has started in you shall be completed till the day Jesus Christ returns. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sure will. Hallelujah. I agree.
Yes, sir.
I agree. Well, we're ready for the word tonight.
Yes, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready for the word. Ain't nothing like the word. A buzzard can't kill it. A bird, a snake can't kill it. Only the word of God make it live. Hallelujah. Are you there, brother? Hello? What happened? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Ernst.
Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach."
Yes.
"And hath given to us, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation."
Mm.
God has given, Yahweh has given to us, that's all of us, every born-again believer. God has given to every born-again believer the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is calling people back to God. There was an old prophet. He was about 80-something years old. And he would walk up and down the street in front of our church when we first started the church. And he would walk up and down the street. He was an old prophet. And he would just say, "Get right with God." He would just tell people to get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. We all, every born-again believer, has been called into the ministry of reconciliation. The message God has given me for everyone who's listening tonight is how we're to be in ministry. How we are to be in ministry. How we're to be in ministry. God expects us to be a certain way in ministry. And all of us have at least been given the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Calling people back to God. And all of us have at least been given that ministry.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "I thank Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Glory to God. I'm grateful that God has counted, he's enabled me and counted me faithful and put me into the ministry.
Mm-hmm. My God.
Paul is saying here that God enabled him. Yeshua HaMashiach enabled him, gave him what he needed to carry out the ministry.
Yes.
And, you know, God has done the same thing for us. Over in Corinthians, he says the body of Christ is made up of many members.
Yes.
Many members, but one body. Many members doing different things. He's enabled us to all do different things. Every born-again believer has at least been given one gift. At least. At least one gift. And we see right here that at least one gift. And that one gift is what? The ministry of what? Reconciliation. Calling people back to God. Calling people back to God. All of the born-again believers, all of us have been at least given that ministry of calling people back to God. And he's enabled us. Paul says he's enabled. That's what Paul is saying right here. Paul is saying, I thank Jesus Christ. He's enabled me, and he's counted me faithful. God has counted you faithful. What does it mean that he's counted you faithful? He said that, hey, he will or she will do this ministry. She will or he will. I've enabled them. They will carry out this ministry. They will. He's counted you faithful. God has enabled you, and he's counted you faithful by putting you into the ministry.
Yes.
The message is how we're to be in ministry.
Yes.
There's a certain way. There's a certain way that we're that we need to be in ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this what? Ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received. You see, we've received this ministry from God. We have received ministry from God. And we faint not. How we're to be in ministry.
Yes.
How we're to be in ministry. Yes. Number one, we're to be addicted to ministry.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. We're to be addicted to ministry. I remember years ago, I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to a lot of other things, but I'm just going to use this for an example. I was addicted to drugs. I was a drug addict. I was a drug addict for 10 years. For 10 years, that's a decade. For 10 years, I was a drug addict.
Yeah.
I would, if they didn't have drugs in one part of the city, I would go all the way to the other side of the city to get my drugs.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was what? Addicted. And see, in ministry, we've got to be addicted. I'm going to show you the scripture now where we have to be addicted to ministry.
Yeah.
When you're addicted, you'll go from one part of the city to the other part of the city telling people about Jesus.
Jesus.
You'll go, see, that's what it means to be what? Addicted. Boy, when they would run out of drugs in one neighborhood, if the other neighborhood that had drugs was on the other side of the city, I would get there. I would get there. I would hustle up a ride. You see, we got to get like that when it comes to ministry. Oh, yeah. We hustled for the devil.
Yes.
We're hustling for the devil. Now we need to be hustling for God. We need to be hustling for God. I would walk miles. If I didn't have a ride, if no one would take me, I would walk.
My God.
So if you don't have a ride to church, you ought to walk.
You
did it for the devil.
My God.
That's being addicted. You'll do some, I tell you, you'll do some things when you're addicted. Am I right about that?
You're right about it.
Oh, yeah, when you're addicted, you'll do some things. You sure will. I stayed up all night. Sometimes I would stay up three nights in a row. 3 nights in a row just partying and doing drugs. Why? Because I was addicted. I was addicted. Yeah. Well, we ought to be addicted like that for Christ, preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. We ought to be addicted. Some people can't even stay up an hour and pray, or 30 minutes and pray.
That's it. That's it. Make it plain. Make it plain.
God wants us to be addicted. To be addicted. We would spend money. Oh, my God. I would spend $500, sometimes $1,000 in a day.
My God.
On drugs. Mm. On drugs. Why would I do this? Because I was addicted to the drug. Well, I'm going to show you in the Word of God where we need to be addicted to ministry.
Yes.
We need to spend our money in ministry. Spend yes. your money in ministry. When you were addicted to drugs, those who of you who were addicted to drugs, you spent your money on those drugs. Some people are addicted to pornography, and they pay their money on pornography. I mean, we need to be addicted for the things of God. Be addicted for ministry. Be willing to spend all kinds of money on ministry. That's being addicted. I'm just giving an example. I'm just giving an example of the things that you will do when you are what? Addicted. The message is how we're to be in ministry. Number one, in ministry, according to the scripture, in ministry, we need to be addicted to ministry.
To ministry.
Now, let me show you that in the Word. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. My pastor always taught me to back up what you're saying, son, with the Word.
Yeah.
Back it up with the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let's look at verse 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have what? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
My God.
Good God Almighty. They did what? They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
My God.
Man of God, woman of God, you need to be addicted to ministry.
Yes.
Good God Almighty. Paul was addicted to ministry. That man would get beat up, he would get whipped, put in jail, and get out and go right back and minister the word of God. He would get stoned, and he would get whipped, and he would get beaten, Apostle Hunter. And he would get right back up. Good God Almighty. He would get right back up and go out and teach the word of God.
My God.
See, those are the things that you will do when you're what? Addicted to ministry.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior was lied on, spit on, beaten, talked about, laughed at, scorned. But he was what? Addicted. Good God Almighty. He was addicted to ministry, ministering to people. He was addicted. The Bible says, for the joy of it, he endured the cross.
The cross.
God Almighty. He was addicted. He said, I could have called the legions of angels to come and get me. No man take my life. I what? I lay it down because I'm what? Addicted to what I'm doing. We've got to be addicted to ministry. Don't worry about people talking about you. You got to have a tough skin. You got to have tough skin in ministry.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
You got to have tough skin in ministry. And see, when you're addicted, you're not going to let anyone talking about you stop you from teaching and preaching the word of God. You're not going to let anything stop you.
No,
I remember when I didn't have a pipe, you know, I smoked crack. I remember when I didn't have a glass pipe. If I didn't have a glass pipe, I'd get a can and use a can to do my drugs.
God,
I was addicted.
God,
I was addicted. And so I'm not trying to tell, don't do drugs, people. Don't do drugs. I'm just giving you an example. In ministry, we got to stop saying, I don't have this and I don't have that. Use what you got. Make it happen. Because you're addicted. You got to be addicted to ministry. Oh, I don't have enough money. That's all right. That's all right.
All right.
I don't have enough. I don't have what I need to get a building. That's all right. I preached up under a tree. I preached on a corner, street corner.
Yeah.
Why? Because I was addicted.
Addicted.
I remember crying out to God when I got saved and I knew that I was called by God to take the word out. And I said, God, I remember saying this to him. I said this to him now. I said, God, I don't have a building. No one's invited me to preach. No one's inviting me to their church, God. That's what I said. And you know what God said to me? He said, son, the whole world is your pulpit. So I got out on the street corners.
My God.
I was addicted.
Now you see.
I was addicted. God, where you at?
God, where
we've got
at?
To be addicted to ministry.
Jeez.
Paul would get beaten down and get right back up and start preaching the gospel. Why? Yeah. Because he was addicted. And the scripture says right here that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they what? They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You got to addict yourself to ministry. So number one, we're talking about how we're to be in ministry. Number one, we've got to be what? Addicted to ministry.
Ministry.
We've got to be addicted to ministry.
Yes.
Number two, we've got to be supportive. We've got to be supportive. We've got to be supportive. Apostle Hunter?
Yes.
He needs those who will support the vision that God has given him.
Yes.
By works, by their money. By their encouragement, by their prayer, he needs what? Support.
Support, that's it.
We need to be supportive.
Yes.
We need to be supportive. Roll up our sleeves and go to work. Help out the ministry somehow. We've got to be supportive.
Supportive.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look at verse 16 through 18. That you submit yourselves unto such. Unto everyone that helpeth with us. That what? That helpeth what? With us. See, Paul is saying that they had what? Help.
Help.
They had someone what? Supporting them. We need to be supportive in ministry. And to everyone that I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and these other people, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Paul is saying, I had some people that supported me.
Yeah.
You see, in ministry, we have to be what? Supportive.
Supportive.
We have to be supportive. Look at verse 18. Look what Paul said in verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit. Good God Almighty. Man, I'm telling you, it gets hard sometimes in ministry. And man, when God sends people to help you in some kind of way, boy, it sure does refresh your spirit.
Yeah. Oh,
it refreshes your spirit. People come in and they work, they usher, they, you know what, they pick up trash, you know, they do things to support, you know, they teach, they do things to support the ministry. Oh, God, your ministry, it sure is refreshing when God sends someone that will support your ministry.
Yes,
we need to be supportive. Look what Paul says. Paul says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours.
Yes.
Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. You see, Paul was refreshed because of someone supporting his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
The message is how we're to be in ministry. Number one, we need to be addicted to ministry. Number two, we need to be supportive. We need to be supportive in ministry. Look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus chapter 17, and let's look at verses 11 through 14. Now, what's going on right here, this is a battle. A battle is going on against the children of God and Amalek. There's a battle going on between God's people and Amalek. Now, look at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When Moses' hands were lifted up during the battle between them and Amalek, Moses and Israel, they would win the battle. They would begin to win when his hands were up. They were winning, that's what I'm saying. They were winning as long as Moses' hands were what? Up.
Up.
And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So they were at war. Moses, as long as his hands were up, they would win. They were winning. But when his hands went down, they were what? They were losing. They were losing. So he needed his hands to stay what? Up. Look at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. Moses got tired and weary. In ministry, we get tired and we get weary.
Yeah.
We get tired and weary sometimes. But look what happened. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they what? Took a stone and put it under him. Man, some guys got together and got a stone for Moses to set down. They were being what? Supportive. They were being supportive. And he sat down, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands.
Yeah.
They're being what? Supportive. Because they recognized as long as Moses' hands were what? Up, they were winning the battle.
Yeah.
And they noticed when his hands were what? Down, they were losing the battle. So they supported Moses by holding his hands what? Up. The one on one side, the one man on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I mean, they got whipped because Moses' hands were what? Held up. So they whipped Amalek. They whipped him with the edge of the sword. And look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. See, that's why this is being rehearsed in our ears. The scripture is letting us know that we need to be what? Supportive in ministry if we're going to continue to win. We need to be supportive in ministry.
Amen.
Number three. We need to be loyal. We need to be loyal. That's almost a lost art today. What happened to loyalty? We need to be able to count on somebody. We need to be able to count on somebody. Whatever happened to loyalty? There's got to be some loyalty, Apostle.
Yes, got to be.
We've got to be loyal in ministry. We've got to be able to be counted on. Can God count on you? Can God depend on you to be on time at church?
Yeah.
Can God depend on you to be at your post when you're supposed to be at your post?
Yeah.
Can he count on you? There must be some loyalty in ministry. You must be addicted to ministry. You must be supportive in ministry. And there must be some loyalty in ministry.
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. The Apostle Paul had some loyal men that did stick with him.
Yes.
We need some loyal people who will stick with us. Second Timothy, and we need to be loyal to some to our pastor, our leader. We need to stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be loyal. Look at Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Look what Paul said. Paul said, only Luke is with me.
That's right.
Glory to God. Luke was loyal. Amen.
Yes.
Luke was loyal to Paul, and Paul said, only Luke was with me. You see, if you back up to verse 10, you see where Demas, he said, Demas left me.
Yeah, he left me.
Demas forsook me. He loved the present world, and he departed unto Thessalonica. You see, in verse 10, and you go down to verse 11, and Paul says, but only Luke is what? Only Luke is with me.
Yes.
And then he goes on, he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for ministry.
Yeah.
Because he's what? Because he's loyal.
He's loyal.
See, when you're loyal, you're profitable for ministry.
Yes.
He was loyal to Paul. Luke was loyal to Paul. He wanted people that were loyal to them, to him, because they would be what? Profitable for ministry, profitable for him. How we're to be in ministry. We've got to be loyal.
Loyal.
We've got to be loyal.
Thank you.
Got to be loyal.
Loyal.
And my fifth and final point, we've got to be strong. You got to be strong in ministry. You can't be quitting every time things get tough. You've got to be strong. You got to have a never give up attitude.
You've
got to be strong. You've got to realize that God is with you. I'm telling you that if everybody leave you, you got to remember that, hey, God is with you.
Yeah.
God is with you. If no one stands with you, you got to remember God is standing with you.
Yes, indeed.
God is standing with you. Look at 2 Timothy. Check in 2 Timothy chapter 16 and 17. I'm going to back it up. You see, you got to be strong. You got to realize who's with you, man. You got to realize who's with you, woman. Look at 2 Timothy and look at chapter 4 and look at 16 and 17. Look what Paul says. Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Paul was saying, at first, no man stood with him. He says, but all men forsook him. He said, everybody ran off on him. They forsook him. He says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But look at verse 17. He says, notwithstanding, he said, what did he say? The Lord stood with me.
Yes.
Good God Almighty. He said, no one else stood with him at first. He said, but who? The Lord stood with me.
With me.
And strengthened me.
My God.
That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Good God Almighty. He said, God stood with me when no one else stood with me. He said, God stood with me, and God strengthened me, and God made people to hear my preaching, and God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Why? Because God stood with me. That's enough to make you strong right there. You've got to be strong in ministry. You've got to be addicted to ministry. You've got to be supportive in ministry. You've got to be loyal in ministry. And you've got to be strong in ministry, realizing that God is standing with you. And it's God who's strengthening you. And it's God who will cause people to hear your preached and taught word. And it's God who will deliver you out of the mouth of the lion. These are the ways that you should be. This is how you should be in ministry. And that's it, Apostle.
Praise God. Good word.
Hallelujah. Hello, Pastor.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Pastor. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly flavored.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
And that's the word. That's the word for tonight. How we're to be in ministry. We've got to be addicted. We've got to be supportive. We've got to be loyal. And we've got to be strong. Realize that God is standing with you. And that's it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Paul.
Well, you know, God bless. That was an awesome.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. That was an awesome word tonight.
Oh, glory to God. It's good to hear you from you, prophetess. God bless you.
You too. You too, sir. God bless you as well. But I'm just right now just feasting off of that awesome word. You know, a lot of people think that I'm crazy because I am addicted.
Amen.
But it's okay with me.
Amen.
God says man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
That's it. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'd rather eat the bread of life that I may live than to eat anything else and die.
Amen. Amen.
God has promised us eternal life. And we must be persuasive. It's an echo.
I know
we
the
must
I know
be persuasive. We must be persuasive and compelling them to come.
Come.
And the only way we're going to be persuasive is that we become addicted.
Amen.
So I thank God for that word on tonight.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. We got the pastor. We got a young lady. Come on tonight. I think that she called on tonight. Are you here?
Yeah.
Hold on, Pastor. There's a young lady that called on. Are you on the line with us tonight? Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Well, amen. Amen. You know, I'm kind of glad I'm back from that vacation. In fact, when I was leaving Austin the other night, and it just started raining, and praise God, God's kept me out of the midst of everything, you know, of all the danger, all the flooding and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It was a blessing, you know, and then got back here. But, you know, I'd like to go somewhere tonight, and I hope you guys will all stay with me on this for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, God said that, and he says, when you come to him, And in your heart, and you ask for forgiveness, he gives it to you. He throws it away. You know, he never hears of it again. And that, in our spirit realm, because we are both here in the natural, and also, if we're in Christ, we're in the spiritual realm with him. And we forget about that sometimes. See, God forgives us, and he doesn't hold that against us. You know, but also at the same time, he says there's consequences for our sins. And we can go back as far back as with Adam, and we can go even to David and everyone else. You know, even David, Adam, he lost the Garden of Eden. He fell in the sin that came into the world. But, you know, if you even go back and you go, so Cain killed Abel. And Cain, in respect, had repentance in his heart because he went before God. I know he sat there and he says, what am I going to do? So I go outside, they'll kill me. And he put him in a place because he still loved him. But he was cast out of the family, basically. There are consequences for our sins, even though we sit there and ask God for forgiveness. You know, in Galatians, I think it's 4:4, you know, it says, God came, Jesus came in at an appointed time. Came in our lives into the world, because, and he also in there in between 1 and 7, you know, explains a lot of different things. It also explains the fact that God allowed the sin to manifest into the world, because without the knowledge and knowing of the sin, we would not know that of the repentance in our heart of the things that we've done.
My God.
We have to bring this into focus. You know, that Josh Duggar, whatever his name is, I don't watch TV, I just every once in a while. And I watch the world sit there and they sit there and they come against the body of Christ and the Christians and say, yeah, you Christians are all you got to do is ask God to forgive you, and he forgives you, and you can go on about your business. Well, in the spirit realm, in that we are in Christ, he does forgive us. But also there is a consequences for those mistakes. As we've seen with Jimmy Swagger, we've seen with Jimmy Baker, and we've seen with a lot of other ministries, that even that they've fallen, they lost their ministries, but God has replaced it. He's put them back in the ministry, but they lost what they had. There are consequences for our sins. It doesn't mean we get off scot-free. I had to explain to a girl this way. I said, you know, if say somebody kills a man, and we go before God and we sit there and he goes before God and God forgives him of his sin, well, that's not going to be counted against him come time of judgment. But the consequences for it, that man will end up with spending time in prison, not alone to save of the simple fact that person they killed, could they have been a doctor or a lawyer? Could their children have come along and created something in this world that would change the world, that maybe found for cancer cure or whatever else? There are consequences. God even brings into focus a lot of times in what we talk about. You know, I think this where there's a lot of things that are mistaken in what we talk about. In the forgiveness, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, yes, we go about our business because we are forgiven. But if we go back into Deuteronomy 28, God gives us those blessings. It says if you don't do these things will come upon you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and we're not under that law. But at the same token, even today, we are still held accountable for our actions.
Yes.
Here on earth.
Still held accountable.
And I think there's a lot of things that are taken out of focus with that, because there's a lot of young that are coming into the ministry or coming to the church and believe in these things, and you know, I know there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that are believing to the fact that they can just go on and march through life, and things will. They don't understand. Let's put it this way. Let me stop for a minute. They don't understand why these things are coming against them.
Yeah.
Why it is that I've asked God to forgive me, yet all these things. How come I'm not prospering? How come I'm not doing this? Why does this keep coming up? God, we sit there and we put it under the blood. We send it, we cast it aside. We do all these things. We sit there and yet it keeps coming back. How come I'm not prospering? How come I'm not getting this? How come this is happening? Why is this happening to me? God will allow a certain portion of that sin to you come to the conclusion of having a repentant heart and knowing the consequences of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you are forgiven in heaven, even though that you have been forgiven, and God has thrown that out the window, and like I said, come day of judgment, does not be held against us. But we have to learn. We have to learn the consequences of our mistake. We have to of our actions, and that's what God allows these things to manifest in our lives until we come to that point that we totally and understand where we screwed up, where we messed up, whether it be we did it in a way of a malice attack, or we do it in a way knowing that we're sinning, that we're doing something, you know, that maybe that we've already been forgiven for, and yet we go back and repeat it again. The second and the third time we do this, God sits there and He will allow these things to come against us until we come. Now, this you got to understand this. We become complacent into the fact that we say, "Hey, Daddy God, hey, my dad in heaven," you know. But Jesus sat there and He said, "Pray this way, Abba, Father."
Amen.
Here comes and sits there and says, "Abba, Father, God will hear." You don't come up to him and say, "Daddy, God, I think, you know, I need this, that, and this," because we become too complacent in our lives. We become too complacent. We become too familiar, because God is Almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
He has to have respect. Even Jesus, being the Son of God, being with God, and through that of the Holy Spirit, He even said, "Pray this way, Abba, Father."
Abba, Abba, Abba.
You know, if you can read in the right straight down through in the Galatians, you'll see where it even says, God will hear the righteous prayer. And how you do a righteous prayer is, "Abba, Father, forgive me of my sins."
Yeah.
Knowing in your heart, that you understand where you messed up, where you have failed, where you have turned and gone in the wrong direction, where you know that you know, and God knows that you know, then you will find that peace. You will find the release. You will find the grace of God. And you will find yourself once again in the light of God. In His mercy and His grace and His love will shine even greater, because you know that you know that you know.
My God. Oh, Jesus.
There are consequences,
man,
for our sin.
Yes.
Whether you know God or you don't know God. But those who don't know God, Jesus came so that we would know and understand, because we realize that those in the world realize that they can't save themselves. They can't do it in a moral gesture. They can't do it through political arenas or anything else. They cannot save themselves.
That's
so
right.
God allows us to manifest the evil to manifest in the world so they can come to an understanding. There's got to be more. There's got to be something greater. There's got to be something better. And that at a point in time is when Christ comes into their lives. And there is a point in time when God and Christ comes back in, and He sits there and He corrects and He redeems and He restores, even to those who are believers who have fallen. That when you come before God and say, "Abba, Father," in your heart, knowing, and every repentance in your heart, and knowing that you failed, that you messed up, and you understand, then God will send that redeeming spirit. Not, He isn't lost. He has never forsaken you. He's never walked away, but He stood there and waited for you to come back and say, God, forgive me. Abba, Father.
Abba. Abba. My God, Abba, Father. Abba, Father.
You know, I've been so many times in doing different things in the ministry, and like you said, you know, we need support, and we need everything else. So not only we need a financial support, we also need that moral support. We need that spiritual support from one another.
Amen.
And a lot of times, you know, even today, I'm going to be honest with you guys. When I took off and left and went off for that 10 days or 12 days, I mean, I was tempted by just about anybody and everybody. I mean, it didn't make a difference, man, woman, it didn't make any difference. That temptation was all over, and it was just blatant, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, I didn't come here for illicit sex. I didn't come here for anything else, anything foul. I just came to rest. But in the same token, I was so burned out that even for the years, like you said, Pastor, for years, you know, getting very little support for the ministry. And I know that the whole world is my platform, just as is yours and everyone else's.
Amen.
It wasn't until today. Here's a man that I haven't seen in almost 40 years, and he writes me a letter. He says, "Will, you're awesome." He's been reading my stuff that I've been posting.
Amen.
That's awesome.
And you know, this guy's not a religious man. In fact, he plays in the bars. He has a secular thing and everything else. But he's been reading my stuff that I didn't realize.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and our brother Winston, I see him today. And he sat there and he asked me, how come you haven't wrote a book yet? And he says, I enjoy what you write. I said, I wait to see what you come up with next and see what you bring in there. You know, that's support.
Amen. That is.
That's a shot in the arm. Because, seriously, I was really thinking, because when I went to this Padre Island, and then I went to San Antonio, and I didn't even want to come home. I went up to Austin. And it wasn't for the fact that I had already sat there and committed myself for that Friday to see somebody on a business deal. I hadn't even planned on coming back from Austin. I was in my car, and I was ready to drive off. Even as much as, like I said, I'm being honest with you guys, because I was burned out. I fried myself. I gave and gave and gave and gave, and it seemed like I was giving, and there was nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing.
My God.
But you know, when I got back here, I was reading on that thing that Josh Duggar, and I'm going, I can't leave the ministry. Because as you said, that's, we were called to minister.
Yeah.
That's right.
Given to us from God.
Yes.
And we are addicted to it.
That's it. I'm addicted to it.
Amen. So you got to be. But I'm being straight up and honest, you know. I mean, even though we're all human, we still have the Holy Spirit, and we have all these other things. We have a lot of things that have come against us, and we all know it. And sometimes it's harder for others, because the more you step out, and the stronger the spirits that come against you.
That's right.
You know, the storms that prevail against us. And even if Jesus sat there and he got in the boat and he says, come on, we're going across the other side. But as he went across, that storm came up onto the sea, because he knew when he got to the other side, as I spoke last week, who did he see? But he seen the man that possessed the land. that was full of demons? The Legion.
Mm.
It crossed over to the other side through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And he caused the storm to be still when he got out of the boat, because it says that the man on the shore, the demon on the shore, the man who was possessed, if you look at it in the spiritually, like I said, it was speaking.
He had
to confront Satan on his terms, or there on his land, because he possessed the land. And he can't, and you know, Winston, we were talking, and Winston says, you know, says, Jesus kept on saying, come out, come out, come out, come out, and they wouldn't come out, because they were sitting at his feet praying. He was answering the prayers to the demons. If he'd answer the prayers to the demons, we would not answer the prayers to the righteous. The prayers was that the demon sit there and says, don't kill us, don't kill us, don't, you know what I'm saying? But he allowed them to go into the pigs.
Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Michael.
That's right. And then when he crossed over to the other side, not only was it the fact that he crossed over, and like I said last week, I said, no Orthodox Jew would be raising pigs. They had to be the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And at the same token, he brought with him the disciples. The disciples did not know who he was, but the demon did, because he fell at his feet. But
yes.
When Christ came across the boat onto the other side, who did he bring with him? He brought the kingdom of heaven. He brought the disciples, the church.
Yes.
You know, so each and everything, God has a purpose for each and every one of us and a plan.
That's right.
But like I said, for some of us who are not hearing from God, we're wondering why, because we screwed up and we sit there and say, oh, God, forgive us, you know, and okay, it's good, and it's under the blood, and we go on about our business, and things ain't coming about around us. I just want to tell you this right now. It may be for the fact, the simple fact, even though until you know and understand this very word, what I'm about to say to you, without it being in your heart that you know, that you know, that you know, and you go before God and say, Abba, Father, to bring the respect, bring everything so God can resend and redeem you from that what has come upon you, the sin that you fell upon.
Yes.
Mm. So that's basically about what I have for you guys tonight. You know, I just, like I said, I know there's a lot of people out there that are wondering why God isn't answering prayers. Well, He has answered your prayers. He's just waiting for you.
But hey, you know, tonight been a night that God has blessed us with the apostle and with the pastor. And one thing I will say tonight is this. The more we look unto God and become addicted, we have to get addicted to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the grace of God. And when you see the grace of God supersedes all that I have. And like the pastor was saying, when I know that I know that I know that I know all of my sin. See, I'm not going to let you come back and hit me upside the head. Because like me and my brother were saying, Apostle, see, we both, I've been in that drug culture. No, I don't do that no more. That man don't live in no more.
That's right.
He don't live in. No, he got a new address.
That's right.
I don't even know him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when the enemy comes up against us, like the pastor said, like Pastor Irvin said, God gives us strength to come against the demon. And see, one thing that I say to anybody, when you cast a demon out, you better have been fasting and praying, because that demon going to whoop your head.
You bet.
He going to whoop your head, I'm going to tell you, because I done been there. But I fasted and prayed, because I used to go on the street ministry. Like the apostle said, I was out there on the street when I got free. I'm laying hands on folk, they're getting the Holy Ghost and casting out demons. And one night, my God Almighty, I told this particular sister, I said, If you're coming with us, you got to fast and pray for at least 2 days. She said, I'm good. So I said, okay, let's tag along. On the next person we met, that demon stood up and started cussing her out and telling you ain't nothing. I said, oh, my Lord. I said, you got to stop this right now. See, you got to be cognizant of what the devil is doing. Like the pastor said, you got to know that spirit. That spirit got to fall at your feet. Am I right? Am I right, Pastor?
That's right. You know, each and every one of us who are in Christ, those spirits, if we know who we are in Christ, if we know and understand who we are in Christ, those spirits have to fall at our feet.
And they must fall at our feet. And
that's right. The only problem is we're blinded to it because we're looking at the world instead of looking at it through the spirits, the eyes of the Spirit of God.
And you know what I say? I took down some notes. Number, it said we must be loyal.
Mm-hmm.
We must be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But more than anything else, we must be addicted. Yes, the first
Amen.
Thing, if you're not addicted to the Word of God, just because somebody said something, you're going to make it all right. No, you personally got to have some prayer time, some praying time, some fasting time, some giving time, some forgiving time, some loving time. You got to let God move in you. I speak to you by what I've heard God say to me. And as the apostle said, that was time when I started this ministry. I didn't have a nickel, but I kept the faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I kept the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And now people say, well, how did you do this? I said, I'm going to tell you. You ready to sit down? It's a long story. But I'm going to make it short for you. Can you trust God? When you ain't got a building, you out under a tree, and you're preaching. Your family moved into the same building, and you're looking up there and see the whole thing. But look what God is doing right now.
Yes.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain.
Amen.
But I labored more abundantly. See, we have to labor, and he used that word. We must be loyal and supporters. And some people don't want to give nobody a nickel or a dime. No, we ain't got no money for you. But I love you.
I hear a lot of that.
I love you. See, love don't cost nothing but, action. I love you, that's it. You ain't got no money? No, I ain't got no money. Like an old lady said, all I got is a nickel and money. And she said, all I got a nickel. You can have 4 pennies of it because I'm going to keep that penny. Sometimes you got to get that way because the devil trying to get your money. You said, no. Now you can have a 4 penny, but I got a penny because that penny go make a whole lot. But I see we got a lady on the phone with her. Sister, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How's everybody?
Amen. Amen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh. I had put my phone on mute because I didn't want no interference as y'all were speaking. But I've enjoyed it, and I called. I called several other friends, and Sister Pat might be online, too. I told her about it, and I told Sister Esther, so I'll be telling other people, too.
Amen.
So this radio station came from a dream. Now, how many of y'all had dreams? How many of y'all had dreams?
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest men in the Bible had a dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joseph. He had a dream, but God changed his name. Hey, I'm getting happy. God changed his name. because all of us dream. We dream the dream that we dream. And watch a dream come true. That was a sin that John Osteen had. He said,
he sure
dream the dream and let the dream come true. Don't, it ain't going to bother you. The dream ain't going to bother you. But God is looking down from, oh, glory to God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. See, I am what I am by the grace of God. No. By the grace of God, Willie Hunter, I am what I am.
Amen.
Go ahead and say something, sister. Go ahead and say something, sister.
I'm just in praising the Lord for the topic tonight on commitment and loyalty. When people stand up to when we perform ceremonies to marry someone, I believe that should be at the top foremost of their. I know we say, "Do you promise to keep us in sickness and health?" That should automatically imply that you're committed. But we know that the depth of commitment does not register at that time that the person is saying, because their eyes are full of all the frills and joys and thinking deep within themselves, just like when we were first born Christians. We knew that all these things would happen, you read the Sermon on the Mount and all the things that the Jesus said would happen, and you say, yeah, and I said, here's what my testimony was, oh, yes, those things are going to happen, but they won't happen to me. They're going to happen to some Christians, but not to me. Why not you? Why not me? And if you're born again, you're going to go through, just like y'all was saying earlier, you're going to go through. You got to be tried and tested, and just like pure gold has to be tried and tested, and then we come forth. Because one of my sayings, not the scripture, but basically it's implied in Revelation, is there ain't going to be no more for Satan to get the big head and he's up there in heaven, or just like the children of Israel also, we get to heaven and say, we've been better off on earth than to come up here praising God all the time. That ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen, just like it did happen in heaven, where Satan was staring up and took a third of the angels with him. God knew Satan was doing it. I don't know what the world thinks. God wasn't asleep. It wasn't a shock or a surprise to him that Satan got all exalted and wanted to be God. That wasn't God created Satan. He was an angel then, an angel that had been bestowed a lot of wisdom and beauty and glory, and he was the music ministry, and he was highly talented. So this is so a lot of our buffeting comes, as Paul wrote in very plain English in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. These things have come because of his visions and his revelations and his one on one with God, that he had to be brought down to be humble so that he would not become lifted up with pride and arrogance. It's so easy. And that's another teaching right there, this thing of pride. Most of us think that pride is where, I want you all to give me the glory for what I'm saying or something like that. That is a form. Those are the obvious signs of pride and arrogance. But there is some subtle pride. Some pride where you think in your heart, where you're sincere in your heart, and you're sincere with your words, that you want to please God. These are things, this is an experience I experienced. I was trying so hard not to sin against God,
I was being very careful of what I say and very careful what I thought and meditated on. Well, in my heart and in my mind and in my every part of my being, I had no idea that that was a form of pride. I had no idea. That's a form, just because, but Pastor Hunter said it a few minutes ago, that in your flesh, you see, we can't please. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's no. Only with the spirit that we can please God. It's a hairline difference in it, whereas you won't even realize that you have transformed into this pride and arrogance and haughtiness. You won't even know it. I didn't know it, and I backslid because of it. Because I was so hurt that I had sinned against God. And I couldn't forgive myself. That's another form. That's the highest form. That's the high form of arrogance and pride when you can't forgive yourself. We think it's so humble, and it is so humble to forgive. I can easily forgive another person, but I could not forgive me. Now, how? And then after falling and being backslidden and wallowing in the mud. God, and I repented every day when I backslid. Every day. I repented with my mouth and my heart with tears. But it was because I just could not see how God could accept me for it. I just couldn't see it. It was unbelievable. However, so that's a high form of pride when you can't forgive yourself. How dare we as human beings not forgive even ourselves when God Himself will forgive you. It was a high lesson. It was a necessary lesson. Just like we don't realize all the years that them 12 years that Joseph was sold into slavery and bought into he was sold and went to jail and was in prison and Potiphar's wife lied on him and his brothers, you know, all them things. But, you know, God, it was necessary because we hadn't looked at the other part. Remember how he boasted and bragged? He told them that he had a dream that they would be his servants.
Oh, Lord.
And so, yes, that provoked them to jealousy and envy and hatred. And the only reason they didn't kill him because one of the brothers, you know, his brother spoke up, and so. But God had to work. It took them 12 years of working that out of Joseph, you know.
Praise
where he
God.
Became humble and he became obedient, you know. That's just saying, and so that was what God, when I failed, it was very necessary. Even the bad things that happened to you. Let me tell you something. The steps of a righteous man, and we all become righteous the moment of birth in Christ, when you pass from death unto life, when you receive salvation, when you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So whether you be the least in the kingdom or the greatest in the kingdom, you become the righteousness of God, you know, because of Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. So once we have been clothed in him, we become righteous. And no matter how inferior or unworthy we are, we have become translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that makes us great. Even in the even the least in the kingdom becomes great. We are heirs, joint heirs to the Most High. We don't understand if what adoption means. When you've been adopted,
let me ask you this, my beloved sister, Dr. E, Apostle Newsom, are you there?
Yes, sir.
This lady is a graduate of our school.
sir?
See, this lady graduated from our school.
Amen, alma mater. All right, amen.
Yes. Amen. So you see the fire that's upon her.
Yes, amen.
Amen, what she went through. Go ahead.
I didn't graduate. I went to y'all school. I went to y'all school. Y'all was school of one of like 10 schools that I've been to. But I did go under Dr. Wright and Barbara Wright and Bev Wright. Yes, sir. And Dr. Hunter. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God for His word.
Amen.
So I know that I'm just thankful to know that you passed, that you come through that same gate. And see, we got that young man online with us. He's a pastor. And I met him some time ago. God had him to come up, and I knew something was going on. See, I'm always checking the spirit wherever I'm at. My wife says sometimes I'm looking around, but I'm listening for God. What I do next? I don't want to make a mistake. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to make a mistake. And so when he came up to me, he said, "May I pray for you?" I said, "In the name of Jesus, you may." See, I could have been asking, see, if I didn't know Jesus, I could have been this woo. But God.
But God.
But God.
But God.
But God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But God.
That is.
And see, she got some testimonies that one night we're going to allow her because she, okay, can you give me about a few minutes of your testimony where you come from?
Oh, in 1973, shortly after I received the Holy Ghost, I was diagnosed. I'm a veteran. I was in the Army National Guard, and I was stationed at Fort McClellan, Alabama, and I was stricken with multiple sclerosis.
My God!
But it took them 3 years before they could diagnose it because at that time they wasn't as sophisticated about diagnosing MS. And I've been through every stage. I've been a quadriplegic, a paraplegic. I've been where I couldn't walk or couldn't talk. I couldn't feed myself. I've been through every stage, but the quarter in the Nakata. Thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 35-year cancer survivor, and 35 years, praise God, thank God,
praise
hallelujah.
God.
In a wheelchair for 22 years, have had 6 strokes and died 3 times. God is good to me. I'm ecstatic. I'll be 17 years old on my birthday. I'm ecstatic. I am truly because they said I would never walk or talk again. So I'm ecstatic. I am grateful, 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 as the song goes. I am grateful, grateful, grateful. But more than that, I am honored that the Most High God has made His abode in me.
Amen.
Have y'all taken a thought of how far God is from earth, and how that, like when you stand up and now, if you've seen an ant, and you see how big you are over an ant, and God is 10 trillion times further than that, than you are over an ant, and just imagine Him sending a portion of Himself to live inside of you. Can you imagine that? That's undescribable. Undescribable awesome. Awesome ain't even on the category. It's too magnificent to describe that God Himself has taken the time. Not only that, but before the foundation of the world, He has chosen us. Wow, before we did any right or wrong, as He tells the same way with Esau and Jacob in Romans chapter 9, He loved us, and He gave Himself for us, for our past sins, present sins, and our future sins, because you got to remember, all of our sins was future when Jesus was hanging on the cross. All of her future. So I'm ecstatic. Yes, God is good, and he's greatly to be praised. And there is nothing bad that has ever happened to me. I can truly test, and I've had a lot of bad stuff happen, but that wasn't good for me in the end. I think it goes along with some of the saying of the world, and some people see the glass half empty and some people see the glass half full, but I see it always blessed. I see that everything, because we're in the palm of God's hand, and he said no good Will I withhold from them that walk upright. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, but all of us to make you strong and to see if you're worthy. Because if we can't take this stuff down here, when we get our transparent bodies, there's no way you can take it up in heaven. We're going to be around the angels. There's angels around the throne 24/7. And every time they blink, they see a new facet of God for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries forever and ever to come. And so that's what we're going to be doing, praising and magnifying the Most High worthy God forever and ever and ever. So if we're mamas and complainers about this little trial, when I was paralyzed, I hadn't been saved very long. I said, I know in my mind. I could think straight. You know that, Pastor Hunter.
Yeah.
You can think just as clear in your mind. You might not can talk, but you can show think when you can't talk and when you can't move. And I was, I tell you, some days I would think, I know my God ain't going to leave me like this. And then some days I would think, why don't you take me, Lord? Why don't you take me? So I wasn't even, because I hadn't been saved very long. And I received lots of power. I had been, just like y'all saying, I've been going around laying hands on people, seeing people heal, seeing people, raising people practically from the dead. And I mean, and that devil stepped in and struck me down. But it was the best thing that could have happened to me. I'm telling you, it was. I thank God. That's been 45 years ago. I thank God that happened to me then, because it has always let me know that no matter what, even when I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, that there's nothing. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Yeah, it solidified me. It put my feet in solid concrete. I can't do nothing but trust God. Nothing but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. You know what? Well, one thing I will say tonight, because I done kind of got quiet and say, my God, my God, my God. But I say this to the listening audience and to those on the radio right now. When I started looking some years ago, I told Brother Newsom, I said, I've been watching you ever since you've been in the school. And God said, we're going to work together. Am I telling a lie?
That's what you did. You were.
I came and I said, I don't know what God's going to do, but we're going to do some work together.
Yeah, that's right.
It took time. And here this lady is, she says she's been trying to get in contact with me because she had heard me talk about the ministry, talk about the radio station, and here she is on the radio station right now.
Amen.
Looking. See, God has put good seeds in Apostle. God has put good seeds in you, Pastor Irvin. God has put good seeds in you, Prince. God has put good seeds in you, William, because his seed can never diminish. It's
Amen.
All the word of God.
Amen.
And see, I started when she started talking about being up in heaven, I went off into the whole book almost of song. I began to read the word where it said, when Jesus said, I was there when my father created the earth. I was there.
Yes.
He said, I was there. He said, when he took his hand and dug out the earth's rim, I was definitely clear. He said, I was there. And I Amen. Said, oh, my God. Oh, I'm like that saying, oh, my God. Ain't nobody yes. but God like this.
Nobody.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. He's awesome, boy. We so blessed. We so privileged. And just imagine the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus and all the false religions. There is no salvation. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved than the name Christ Jesus. And yet we hang our heads and walk low and walk humble, but we should be the happiest people. Even when you ain't got a nickel, you can't help but be happy, because we know the Most High God. That alone it makes you wealthy. You're a billionaire. We're zillionaires.
Oh, Jesus. And like the Bible say, Apostle said, Pastor, he said, that the blessing of Abraham might fall on the Gentile. I said, okay, Abraham, just let it flow.
Let it flow. I like that. Let it flow.
It's like in Houston, we saw the water flowing like never before. In 24 hours, we had 11 inches of rain. And somebody said, yes, how did that happen? I said, that's God. But I want to say this before. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
He's a liar openly. And see, this flooding, this change in the atmosphere, this is not of God. The devil is trying to make it appear God did this. He's a liar. He did it, devil. You did it, devil. You're the call of chaos in the earth realm. You're the one that caused all this. Amen.
Amen.
He's the one. They done found 12 people in around and Houston on the water. I said, that's the devil. Because we try to tell people, like the apostle said, we got to go out and call them in. That's what we do. We got to call them in. We got to go and say, come on in. But you know what?
Amen.
Some people not going to hear. Oh, they the same. They come with the same old quack. Somebody's going to hear. Because somebody's going to see. And I say this with love in my heart. I thank God for this radio station. I thank God for y'all. I thank God for you. All I can say is hallelujah. As they say, yada, 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 yada.
Amen.
Amen. That's all I can say. It's God. That's all. Because it's Him. He made it possible for us tonight. And you know, y'all have given me so much joy tonight. So much joy. And I'm speaking healing on my body constantly. My mind. And I say to my mind is the mind of Jesus Christ. Keep moving. I say to my body. Mm-hmm. And when they told me, said I'd never walk, I said, oh, no, that's nonsense. I ain't receiving that. I said,
Amen.
You can cut that bread with somebody else, because I'm not going to cut the bread. No, you take it. No, I don't want that. But I see, I'm walking, and I'm talking.
Amen.
See, and what God is doing, He put the same together. Some are not apostles, but this lady says she's a teacher. So we got an apostle, we got a pastor, we got a teacher. So we got a part of the fivefold ministry. That's what it is. And see, God is operating in the
Hello.
I think we lost him.
You think we did? We lost him? That devil's a liar. Boy, that liar. Hallelujah. God. New York. That's a New York number. Hello?
Yeah, he's not there. I think we lost him.
Oh, we lost him. And your name was Brother
William Irwin, Pastor William Irwin.
Yes, I'm Reverend Princess Love. Praise God, Pastor William Irwin, E-R-W-I-N.
I-R-W-I-N. I got broken your
right.
Yeah, I got broken your national ministries.
Oh, praise God. Thank God. I can't believe we lost him. But these phones, that's the way these satellites be doing and this, praise God. But I sure did enjoy the lesson tuning in tonight. I'm so glad I got a hold of him today. I've been calling, like he say, but we thank God. I got another prayer line that I'm going to be on now from 9 to 10. But I sure do thank the Lord that I got a chance to get on here tonight, and I'll be on there tomorrow night too, Lord willing. But we thank God. We thank all of the listening audience. I thank all of y'all for letting me share with you the love of Jesus, because there ain't nothing greater. There is no greater love than Jesus. Thank y'all. Thank good night.
Amen. God bless you. And I want y'all to know, God has been good to us. He's really been good to us. And sometimes this radio, I don't know what's going on, but every time it gets a good rain like this, the line falls. But I want y'all to know, if you, tomorrow morning from 7 to 10, we're going to be on the prayer line. So everybody can, we just thank you. We just thank you. So I want to say, I love you. I love you. I really love you.
We love you.
We love all of y'all. God bless. All right. Thank y'all. God bless you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Father. End my episode. And